All right, member-supported radio, KX93.5 right here in Laguna Beach. That song, Live Fast, Love Hard, Die Young, done brilliantly by a brand-new project, Chris Shiflett and the Dead Peasants. And Chris Shiflett is here right now at our Pearl Street studios. Thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is great.
Yeah, what do you think of our studios being such a small, like, community radio station? You know, we got some pretty nice digs here, huh?
No, it's nice. You got nice microphones. You got these pro little, I don't know what you call these things, microphone arms. You got a computer. You got everything you need down here.
Are you more or less a tech guy? So, like,
no, you may have guessed, no.
I'm not either. I like to program the music and talk to the artists rather than doing computer things.
Yeah. No, I usually, you know, I have a little Pro Tools rig in my garage that I pretend is my home studio. But every time I go to try to record something, I have to update it and then nothing works and then I give up.
Well, I do want to talk about this new project, where it was all written and recorded, or recorded, yeah. Rather. But again, Chris Shiflett in studio. Originally, you're from where?
I grew up in Santa Barbara, California.
Okay, so growing up as a kid, you know, what sort of music were you exposed to? Like, what were your folks listening to and stuff like that? Or older siblings or
It kind of went like this. Like, I had two older brothers, and so whatever they were into, I was into just by default.
Sure.
And luckily, they had pretty good taste. Like, you know, my earliest memories are like their Elvis and Beatles and Rolling Stones records and stuff like that. And then, you know, as the years went on, we got really into Kiss and Black Sabbath and Aerosmith and, you know, mm-hmm. all the sort of Deep Purple, all the heavy rock stuff in the 70s and into, like, you know, the 80s heavy metal and, you know, whatever.
So it's safe to say this Chris Shiflett and the Dead Peasants project, it's something totally different than what you've been accustomed to as far as putting out records, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really, the whole idea of doing this was I've been a country music fan for a long time, and really kind of like there's a specific subsection of country music that appeals to me the most, which is like that kind of 50s and 60s and 70s honky tonk.
Right, it's got to be. Is it what you call that outlaw country?
Well, like, that's even before the outlaw stuff, but, you know, like mm-hmm. Buck Owens, Merle Haggard, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I like a lot of different things, but like that's kind of maybe my favorite out of all the country stuff.
And if you were to turn somebody on to a country artist that they wouldn't, you know, that they haven't heard of quite yet, you would probably steer them in that direction rather than the new pop. Top 40 country that's bubbling up today, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite stuff. I would probably give them the same advice that I got. Like, I liked rockabilly and I liked twangy kind of American music, and then at a certain point I got turned on to alt country when, like, Wilco and Sunvolt were first starting out and Whiskey Town and bands like that. And then a good buddy of mine I was talking to one day, and I just said, like, I really like old country, but I just don't know anything about it. What should I get? And he said, get the Buck Owens box set, get the Merle Haggard box set, get a couple of Ray Price records, get some Wynn Stewart, and just do that and check that out for a while. And that's what I did, and that sort of started this, you know.
That's awesome. And then you obsession. Go down that rabbit hole. All of a sudden, you're Googling new bands and artists you never heard of before. I was really into that, learning about the 1970s New York scene, the whole CBGBs thing. I was reading books about it. I was discovering new artists from that era.
Did you read that Please Kill Me book?
The Legs McNeil one.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Did you ever read that book? Yeah. That book is unbelievable.
No, that is a really good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, Chris Shiflett in studio. The new project is Chris Shiflett and the Dead Peasants. Who did you bring in the studio with us today, by the way?
It's my buddy Luke. He's also from Santa Barbara. We grew up playing music together, and we've been playing in this thing as long as I've had it.
So to recreate the sound of the record, you know, who will be playing with you tonight at the Casbah?
Well, we got most of the boys are going to be down there. We don't have Marty on the pedal steel because he's tied up doing something else. And we don't have Mitch because Mitch, our regular drummer, plays drums with Dwight Yoakam. Mm-hmm. And Dwight's very busy right now.
Oh, you're really going country now.
Well, those are like our two country cred guys, too. I mean, those are the two guys that actually, you know, they've explained to us like how to do what we're doing. So we'll be flying solo tonight, but we got everybody else, and our friend Milo is going to play drums with us. He's been doing a lot of the shows.
Cool.
So,
yeah. I'm intrigued by this, and it seems like a lot of fun for you guys to have been doing. You know, a lot of people are familiar with, you know, the more punky aspects of your career, No Use for a Name,
sure.
Being guitar player for the Foo Fighters. I mean, that's got to must have been an amazing journey up until this point. But I guess when we catch you to come through our Pearl Street studios and whatever, this is what you do on your own time, this new project, huh?
Yeah, you know, we started kind of digging into this about a year and a half ago, We hadn't played for a little while. We actually made a Dead Peasants record a few years ago, but it's a little bit different. And then, and at the time, I didn't have a band. So I called some old friends like Luke and my buddy Jeff and some new friends, and we put this thing together and we did a bunch of shows. But then I got busy with Foos again, you know, obviously. So we weren't doing much for a little while. Then we got back together. We started just learning all these old honky-tonk songs, and we just learned like as many as we could.
Fun.
And we started playing gigs. And, you know, it's been about a year and a half of doing it, but it's pretty comfortable now. There's a bit of a learning curve there because it's, you know, it's different than what all of us are used to doing, but it's a lot
sure.
of fun.
Yeah, as far as the country thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that this is, you know, to have creative control in a project like this, even though it's predominantly covers, to be in the band like the Foo Fighters, I imagine, and we're all friends here, we could keep it real, right? The Foo Fighters is more or less a Dave Grohl vision of what he wants to put on wax, right? And everybody's along to kind of see that come to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Foos are without a doubt Dave's band, and you know, he's the songwriter in the band and the, you know, creative visionary or whatever. So you have to respect that, but you know, everybody throws their two cents in along the way.
I imagine so. Yeah. I imagine so. Again, the new record's called All Hat and No Cattle. Again, Chris Shiflett from, you know, the Foo Fighters, No Use for a Name, this new project, The Dead Peasants, in studio with me today. So it's not a whole nationwide tour or anything like that. You know, you got to pick and choose what shows to play.
We haven't been offered the Vince Gill tour. We're waiting.
Right.
We're waiting, but they're not calling yet.
Well, I know that's something you'd be up for, but I mean, you know, writing and recording with the Foos right now, you know, your time is limited, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely busy right now. So we're doing as many gigs as we can do. And
cool.
It's funny, we kind of almost like toured this in reverse. Like we did like a lot of shows over the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Has it
been well received, and what sort of venues are you guys playing?
We play, you know, bars mostly. I mean, we played a few like actual, like real legit country circuit clubs with like mechanical bulls and stuff. And that was pretty weird, but fun. It definitely taught us some lessons. Like if you stop, then people stop dancing and the dance floor clears. That was the lesson we learned. Just never, ever stop.
Right.
Just keep going.
Do you find that people along the way are just not ready for this sound? People who, I mean, I feel like you have a built-in audience already, and are people coming to the shows not exactly ready for this country rock and roll fest?
I think if most people are going to actually make the effort to come out to your show, they're kind of rooting for you, and they want to have a good time, you know, and so most people are pretty open to just, you know, music is music, and if it's got a good beat and people can kind of dance to it,
sure,
and drink a couple of beers, I think most people are kind of open to whatever. But I'm sure it's a few confused people in the crowd, like, why is this guy doing this?
Right.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, I imagine.
I had some kids come up. We did like an in-store we did a bunch of in-stores last week at record stores, and these young kids came up and they're like, hey, will you sign my record? I'm like, sure. And they go, we have a question for you. Are you ever going to play in a punk rock band again?
That'd be like, a good question.
Yeah,
that was one of my questions.
I said, hey, man, I'm waiting for Bad Religion to call, man. I'm going straight to the top, babe.
Absolutely.
Somebody's got to get like El Jefe out of NOFX or something. And then,
right.
Then I'm back.
Talk about Bad Religion, man. I mean, that's a band that could speak on the being a success in rock and roll, doing their punk thing throughout the years. That's really great.
Oh, legends.
If you ever had the opportunity, if you see a band at a show or someone floats you a CD and you're like, wow, this is really good, would you take them under your wing as producer to help facilitate somebody else's project? Have you done that in the past?
Not really. I mean, I think it would be. I've never produced a band ever, but I've recorded a lot. And, you know, we kind of produce our own stuff ourselves. So that would be fun. You know, it'd be interesting to see.
You never know. It could
you
happen,
never know.
Huh?
But, you know, taking a young band under my wing, my wing doesn't really, there isn't like a big pot of gold under my wing. Like, it's hard enough for my own band to, you know, put records out and
sure.
do stuff. So,
but you could
I'll give all the advice in the world.
Right, you could speak on experience, and
that's
you've
right.
made music, you've made a living doing music, which is
sure.
a blessing, right?
Yeah.
Any advice you would give to somebody out there listening who wants to be in your shoes one day? Maybe not necessarily selling out Wembley like the Foo Fighters do, but making a career of music. Any advice you would give?
I always give the same advice, which is you just got to love, just play music because you love it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't try to do it because it's a career choice or whatever. You know, I mean, I think back when I was a kid or a teenager or whatever, and first playing in bands, and, you know, certainly I wanted to be Motley Crue or whatever. I wanted to be like a rock star and all that stuff. I'm not going to pretend I didn't. But I also just like, I had to play music. Like I just had to. It was just in me and I just had to do it. So I think you just got to love it.
So keep doing it, right?
Yeah, and keep plugging away.
And eventually maybe people will take notice and there you go.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
the business is so different now than it was 20, 30 years ago that... On that end, I wouldn't even know where to advise anybody. I don't know. I'm not current.
The business has changed. Social media and the internet is a huge aspect now of...
You can never replace live, though. You can never, ever replace live.
The live music?
Live music. That's always going to be... You know, nothing can ever take the place of that.
I agree with you on that. Going back to the social networking thing, if you're an independent band, you got to be all over the internet.
Sure.
You're on Twitter.
Yes.
Now, is that you tweeting relentlessly, or do we have Chris Shiflett handlers?
Uh-oh,
doing...
I'm outed. Sometimes it's me, and then sometimes it's not.
Sure.
To be honest,
I get
you know
it.
If it says like, "Hey, our record's out. Here's a link." You know, that's not me. but you know, I've actually I remember I don't read like the responses to my tweets anymore because it's just like a kind of a soul sucking experience. I mean, it might be good to keep your ego in check, but I remember tweeting something. I used to tweet like things like, you know, the political stuff. Oh, here's a great article in The Nation. Check this out.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's not really what people want. They want me to tweet like pictures of Dave Grohl taking a shower or something like that.
Or Taylor, you know, Hawkins'
I
mean? Hair.
Yeah, or Taylor's hair. Or that kind of
Who
thing.
Taylor's hair has his own Twitter feed.
It does.
Right.
It does.
It does.
That's true. I haven't checked it recently, but it had more followers than my actual Twitter feed. So
that's hilarious.
That's the kind of stuff people want. And I remember reading somebody, just their response to one of my tweets was like, "You have the most boring tweets ever." Oh.
I wouldn't take that personal, my friend. Chris Shiflett in studio with me this afternoon on member-supported radio. If you're new to the radio station, thank you so much for paying attention. You could be a member. You could donate to this nonprofit entity. All the details there on kx935.com. And thank you, my friend, for supporting independent radio.
Wow, thank you for supporting independent music.
You got it. The project is Chris Shiflett and the Dead Peasants. You did bring a guitar today.
I did.
I have some more questions, but if you don't mind, I mean, you know, what song did you guys want to rip into first?
I thought I could play Guitar Picking Man real quick for you.
All right, sounds good. And that is on the new record. All Hat, No Cattle. And it's available to the general public right now.
Guitar Picking Man. Well, I travel all around the country, from California down Louisiana. I picked peaches in Georgia. I rode the freights down to Birmingham. I do whatever I want to, and I do it every time I can. 'Cause I'm a woman stealing, double dealing, guitar picking man. Well, I ain't had much book learning, but you can't say that I'm a fool. I ain't spent a lot of time living by the golden rule. Don't you try to change me, even if you think you can. 'Cause I'm a woman stealing, double dealing, guitar picking man. I'm a guitar picking man, a guitar picking man. I picked them all the way from San Jose down to Mobile, Alabama. And I'm doing just what I like to, and I'm proud of what I am. 'Cause I'm a woman stealing, double dealing, guitar picking man. Well, I never put on nobody, I don't care what the people think. Just doing what I wanna do, puts my money in the bank. It's exactly like I like it, and I think you understand that I'm a woman stealing, double dealing, guitar picking man. I'm a guitar picking man, a guitar picking man. I picked them all the way from San Jose down to Mobile, Alabama. And I'm doing just what I like to, and I'm proud of what I am. 'Cause I'm a woman stealing, double dealing,
guitar picking man. Hey, I'm a woman stealing, double dealing, guitar picking man. Cause I'm a woman stealing, double dealing, guitar picking man.
Yeah, man. Awesome. That is Chris Schiff live in studio on member-supported radio, KX93.5. That's a pretty guitar that you have there.
Oh,
are you a multi-instrumentalist yourself, or has it always been the guitar for you?
It's pretty much just the guitar, but I mean, I own a lot of instruments. I own more than I play, like, proficiently.
Yeah.
You know? I got a lot of stuff in my house. They're like good intention purchases.
Is that what you've been collecting over the years, musical instruments?
I got like a bunch of things that I imagine someday I'll be like a little old man trying to figure out how to play. Like I got a, you know, banjo, I got a mandolin, I got a pedal steel, I got lap steels, you know, dobros, I got all that stuff.
Cool, man. And it's all in your home studio. And where was this all recorded?
We did this record out at the Foo Fighters studio, Studio 606. And we did it pretty much live. I mean, the vocals aren't live. But we tracked all the music, just all of us in a room together.
Right. Is that something that's relatively new to the recording process for you, is standing in a room? And I go back to the Jim James thing, like My Morning Jacket, all looking at each other and recording.
I've never made a record like that before, but it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
I imagine so. You know, I guess some bands are going back to tape.
Sure.
And some bands
we do
are
tape
playing
if we
live.
Could afford it. You know, if I could afford tape for this thing, but tape's expensive nowadays.
It's just for the that sound quality.
It just sounds better to me. You know, I mean, the records that we grew up listening to are all made on tape, you know, like analog recording equipment or whatever. And
right.
So to me, that's just the thing that sounds best to my ears.
Right. Absolutely. Again, Chris Schifflet from Chris Schifflet and the Dead Peasants in studio here. The record's All Hat, No Cattle. It's really all covers, but there's one original, right?
There is one original.
Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Well, we learned all these cover tunes when we were getting ready to record, and I don't remember if this came together at rehearsal or maybe when we were in the studio, but we were just kind of jamming on these on that chord progression, and we had the music for it that just kind of came together at rehearsal or whatever. And so I just liked it. It just seemed like a good, like, high energy kind of thing, and it was different than, you know, anything else on the record. So I wrote some lyrics for it quick, and we banged it out, and when it came time to put, you know, sort of sequence the record, it was one of my favorite songs that we recorded, so I was kind of went back and forth, like, I don't know if it really fits on this thing, because it's not a cover tune like all the rest of them, but I don't know. I think it fits in there somewhere. And I also, like, over the course of going out and playing it live, it was always one of the songs that people danced to the most. It kind of got the crowd moving the most, so I just figured, yeah, we should probably put this on there.
Again, you guys are playing live at the Casbah a little bit later,
yes.
Which is rad. A real, you know, intimate, punk-rocky type of venue. You guys going to wear the 10-gallon hats and everything up on stage?
Oh, yeah, we always do.
That's so cool, man. And that's a throwback to the old country style, is it not? I feel like, the band members dressing up the same and...
Yeah, you know, again, like, I wish we, I wish we had it in the budget. It'd be so strong to go out there in, like, matching powder blue Western suits, you know what I mean?
Right.
With, like, the nice felt hat. But someday, that'll be the next record.
Cool, absolutely.
After this interview airs and we sell out the Casbah tonight, we're going out and we're getting brand new nudie suits.
I hope so.
So if you're in Fresno tomorrow, that's what you're going to have to look forward to.
And by the time the next record is really ready to be released, I hope you come back when
you sweep
through SoCal.
By that time,
it'll
be like laser light shows and, you know,
right.
We're going to have like cattle on stage. It's going to be insane.
Where is home for you now, Los Angeles?
We all live in L.A., yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything you wanted to touch on to the general public who might not be familiar with the music of Chris Schifflet quite yet?
Well, I don't know. You know, we just kind of went through a bunch of our favorite honky-tonk songs to get these songs together, you know, and then we not only learned them, but we went out and played them and kind of road-tested them, and you could see, like, what worked the best, what people kind of responded to the most. So that was sort of how we wound up getting these tunes, you know. But I mean, hopefully, you know, if somebody doesn't know anything about country music, they might check out my record because they're, you know, whatever, just interested, and maybe that'll lead them to go check out like an old Don Rich and the Buckaroos recording or something like that. That'd be great.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of that. Maybe some fans of the Foos, fans of your previous projects and stuff like that. As soon as they're on board with this one, they might discover some music that they weren't exposed to in the past.
Sure. Absolutely. And that's what we did. You know, that's what, sure. That's how we got it.
Right. And I think that's punk rock, to say that, you know what, I didn't know everything, but, you know, I had right. to do my own research, and
well,
now I know.
It's a funny thing. There's definitely, like, some kind of strange kinship between punk rock and honky-tonk. And I can't quite define what it is, but it's like an attitude or a mm-hmm. style that is, there's some straight line there that connects the two, you know?
Right. I think people would agree with that.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint it as well, but there is an attitude there.
You just feel it. You know, I mean, there's right? Hank Williams and Shane McGowan. Are they really that far apart? I don't know. Sure. They aren't to me.
Sure. Gigi Allen and Hank Williams might be a little different.
Yeah, that
there.
Might be a stretch.
Right.
But I'm sure there's probably some, you know, country counterpart to Gigi Allen that we're just unaware of.
Probably
know?
So. Yeah. Chris Shiflett in studio on member-supported radio KX93.5. Thanks for coming again. Before we wrap it up, would you mind playing another song?
Oh, sure, man.
All right. You said you might want to play Good Time Charlie's.
Yeah, this is a tune that my buddy Eddie turned me on to, and it was this guy, Del Reeves. I don't know if he was from Bakersfield, but he's kind of associated with that scene. Mm-hmm. I wish we had a second guitar because it's got good harmonized guitar stuff, but... I'm just going to wing it on my own. Luke's going to help me out on the harmonies.
Thanks, guys. Oh, yeah, your microphone's on, man. So be on your best behavior, you know?
So no swear words, Luke. Come on.
No, we still have to uphold the broadcast license, even though we're such a small little radio station.
Just, you have to imagine Luke's fiery guitar playing accompanying
okay.
this one here. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Okay. Good time, Charlie's. I know a place called Good Time Charlie's, a little four-piece band swinging out of sight, and I'll be there if you want a party from 9 in the morning till 12 at night. 2 miles from town, across the railroad track, turn right at the light and park in the back. You're always welcome, don't forget to drop in. Oh, Good Time Charlie's, anytime you can. I heard tell about a troublemaker. He walked in one night, he never came again. They said he left with an undertaker. Old Charlie done time, 2 years in the pen. But the beat goes on at the hardwood floor, and the sound of laughter calling out the door. Wall-to-wall women, plenty of ice cold beer. Anything you're after, you can find right here. 2 miles from town, cross the railroad track, turn right at the light and park in the back. You're always welcome, oh, don't forget to drop in. Oh, Good Time Charlie's, anytime you can. You're always welcome, oh, don't forget to drop in. Oh, Good Time Charlie's, anytime.